Good morning. This morning's Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was in Jerusalem a man called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Let's pray now that God, the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Bible, would enable all of us to understand it and to believe it in our hearts. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you are a speaking God, and that you long to have a relationship with us. So please, would the Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds to understand and believe, and so to put our trust in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, today is a great day, the dedication of Sammy and James. We thank God so much for them and for the whole family, and we pray that they will grow up knowing and loving God as Father. This, of course, is the example of Jesus. He is brought to God in accordance with Jewish law, and he's presented to God in the temple. The child of Jewish parents was to be brought up within the covenant, within the family of God. And we want nothing less for Sammy and James. And then in the verses following our reading, we see that Jesus knew God as his father at the age of 12. That's what we want for Sammy and James. We want them to grow up knowing God as father. And we pray that when they're older, they'll want to choose for themselves what their parents have decided for them today. We pray that they will become Christians for themselves, be baptized, and come into church membership. If you know anything about Luke's gospel, you'll know that Luke presents an orderly, scholarly account of the birth, life, and death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is God come among us. He's the fulfillment of Jewish prophecy that God himself would come into the world as rescuer and king. He's born of a virgin, again prophesied in Jewish prophecy. This shows that he is miraculously God, born as one of us. And we get various songs, Mary's song, Zechariah's song, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. Jesus is God's rescuer, king, the Jewish Messiah. And that is the point being made in today's passage. And it's very important that we consciously choose Jesus as our king. It's not enough just to be part of the crowd. I'm a great fan of the late tenor Luciano Pavarotti. Pavarotti said, "When I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. Arrigo Pola, a professional tenor in my hometown of Modena, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a teacher or a singer? Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. I chose one. It took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 years to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think, whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair. And we must choose Christ. It's no good wavering between two opinions. It won't be enough to ignore him and to put off choosing him. C.S. Lewis, the Cambridge professor and author, summarizes the Bible's teaching on this, that we choose Christ today as our Savior, as our rescuer, or we must face him when he returns to judge the world. C.S. Lewis says, when the author walks onto the stage, the play is over. God is going to invade. God is going to walk onto the stage. But what good is it saying that you're on his side then? Then it will be God without disguise, something so overwhelming that it will strike either irresistible love or irresistible horror into every creature. It will be too late then to choose your side. That will not be the time for choosing. It will be the time when we discover which side we really have chosen, whether we realized it before or not. Now, today, this moment, is our chance to choose the right side. Young Sammy and James, and each one of us, need to choose Christ as our rescuer today. We must not delay. And I've got three things to show you about this from our Bible reading. They're on the backs of your notice sheets as well. Jesus is the fulfillment of Judaism. Jesus is the longed-for Messiah. And Jesus is good news to be shared. Firstly, then, Jesus is the fulfillment of Judaism. Some people think that Christianity is a white, often middle-class, British religion. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus belonged to Middle Eastern culture. He was a very good Jew. He kept the Jewish law perfectly. He's the fulfillment of Judaism. So verse 8, on the eighth day, he's circumcised. He's given the name Jesus, which is the same name as Joshua. It's a good Jewish name. It means God saves. This is the name God chooses for Jesus. He is God come to save us. Now verse 22, Joseph and Mary Jesus' parents, God is his father, Joseph is his legal father, Mary is his mother. And they must obey the law of Moses. They are good Jews. They do what God had said, verse 23. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated, set apart to the Lord. And they offer a sacrifice, obeying Jewish law, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. This shows, incidentally, that Mary and Joseph were relatively poor. Jesus is the fulfillment of Judaism. Christianity is not a departure from Judaism. It's a continuity. The Old Testament looks forward to God's rescuer king, God's Messiah. There are hundreds of fulfilled prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible. And if you're not a believer, you have to explain that fact. How are there all these hundreds of fulfilled prophecies? This is the argument of much of the New Testament, written largely by Jews. So secondly, Jesus is the longed-for Savior. Fruitless waiting is a very sad thing, isn't it? Have you ever been stood up on a date and you just stand there? We might think of the mother waiting for her son to come home from war, and he never comes. Waiting is difficult at the best of times. Think of waiting for exam results or the result of a job interview. It's tough. However, here we meet a man called Simeon who found God's purpose in his waiting. God's purpose, long predicted in the Old Testament. Verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. In other words, we should listen to this man. He's in touch with God. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Israel was in need of consolation. Israel had had a tough time. They'd been exiled to Egypt. They'd been exiled to Babylon. They'd lived under various oppressive regimes, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Seleucids. And technically, they were back from exile. They were back in the land of Israel, but they were ruled by Rome. And in place of the once glorious Temple of Solomon, they now had a very second-rate, second temple, the Temple of Herod. Israel was in need of consolation. Maybe some here today are in need of consolation. Life is a disappointment. And what Simeon understands is that God will console his people, not with a great army, not with guns and tanks, or with great wealth, but with a little baby. Jesus is God's consolation. And Simeon knew this, because verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. God's Spirit was speaking through Simeon. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon knew that when the Messiah was born, whom he would see, that would be his and Israel's consolation. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. I can die now, Lord. I've seen the King. Verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. This is God's rescuer, Savior, God's King, which you have prepared, verse 31, in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That's very important. This longed-for Saviour is not just for the Jews. He is for the Jews. He's the King of the Jews. He's the Jewish Messiah. But he's for Africa. He's for Europe. He's for America. And so on. He's a light to reveal God to the Gentiles, to all continents. He is God's light to show us how we may be saved. In July 1976, in a swift display of military precision, courage, and sheer daring, Israeli commandos rescued 102 Jewish hostages from Uganda. Their plane had been hijacked by terrorists and flown to what was then a terrorist safe haven, ruled, of course, by the dictator Idi Amin. The hostages were as good as dead unless something could be done to save them. And something was done. And the Bible says that's an illustration of our predicament. We are as good as dead. Except that something has been done to save us. Perhaps you did not know that you need rescuing. The Bible is very clear. God has given us life. We owe him everything. And we've chosen to rebel against him. And at best, to ignore him. We do all kinds of wrong things. And the Bible says God is perfectly justified in punishing us, which he does in hell. But because God is loving, he gives Jesus to be the rescuer, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for all people. Jesus grows up. He lives a perfect life. He dies in our place on the cross. And there, he is loaded up with our sin, our rebellion against God. And he is punished there in our place for our sin. This means that we can be rescued. We can go to heaven in place of hell. We can know God as Father, just as Jesus does. This is the point of what Simeon says in verse 33 and following. Mary and Joseph marvel at what Simeon says. Well, you would. Verse 34. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel." Many Jews will believe in Jesus. Many will reject him. He is to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Our response to Jesus reveals what's in our hearts. Do we love him? Do we trust him? Or do we reject him? But Mary will bear the greatest pain, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary will stand at the foot of the cross and watch him die. Jesus is the fulfillment of Judaism. He's the longed-for Savior, Rescuer, Messiah. And there is great pain in this, not least for his mother. But thirdly, Jesus is good news to be shared. We now meet another saintly old person, verse 36, a prophetess called Anna. She speaks for God. She has great Jewish pedigree. She's very old. Since she was widowed as a young woman, she's lived in the temple, worshipping, fasting and praying. Now look at verse 38. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She talks about Jesus with everyone she can. Why? He's good news. He is God's rescuer and king. You and I can be rescued from a purposeless existence, from rebellion against God, from hell itself. We can be rescued and we can know God. This is good news worth talking about. I wonder then, have you received this rescue? Have you received Christ as your King? Keep coming to church. Keep asking questions. Come on one of our Christianity Explored courses. Come and ask your questions. We can supply you with a book called Cure for Life, which goes through why Christianity is true. What is the evidence that it's true? What I pray for Sammy and James is what I pray for all of us, that we might come to know Christ, to put our trust in him, to turn from our sin and find forgiveness and come to love and trust Christ. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that so many of us have come to know him and to love him and to trust him. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for a relationship with you. Thank you that we can go to heaven when we die and be with you for all eternity. So, Lord, we pray for one another. Help each one of us to ask the questions we need to ask so that we may come to a position of integrity where we know what we believe and why we believe it. So help each one of us, we pray, and especially this morning, Sammy and James. In Jesus' name, amen.